thank everyone for coming along to the meeting tonight. It's always a scary place to be, or I feel it is, to stand up here, because first and foremost, decisions will be made tonight. And the decision that you make tonight could seal your destiny for either heaven or hell. And that's what makes this meeting very important. And I just trust that God will give help to make the way of salvation plain and simple as God would have it. So before we read my passage, we'll pray and ask for help. Our Father in heaven, we would just bow in the name of thy dear Son at this time to draw near to thy throne, to seek that thou would look down upon us in our feebleness tonight. We recognize that without thee this will be a wasted hour, but we can be assured from thy word that you will not leave us to ourselves, but if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So we just beseech of you this promise. We know that you cannot lie. So with this, we have confidence in knowing that you will be in our presence tonight, and pray that you will give help to the speakers at this time in your name. Amen. Going to read a very well-known portion from the Bible tonight. It's found in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I was trying to decide which hymn was my second hymn. I had kind of settled on "Just As I Am," that hymn. My Uncle Lewis, that's the hymn that they were singing when he trusted the Savior. And I know it's usually a hymn that's kind of at the end of a meeting, not that it has to be by any means, but and then as I was contemplating that, the hymn "Down from the Glory, the Savior came into my mind, so I gave that one out, and it's kind of fitting for this time of the year, because from here on in, we'll hear a lot, hopefully, about the Savior that came from glory down to this world. But tonight I'm going to read another story. It's kind of ties in with the coming of the Lord Jesus for sure, but it's the story of the Good Samaritan. And we'll start reading from Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And this conversation was between the lawyer, the scribe, and the Lord Jesus when he was in this world. Verse 26, "And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." It's interesting that this lawyer would ask this question, what he would do to inherit eternal life. As you know, an inheritance is an act of kindness shown by one to another, not an act of merit by one's own self. This lawyer should have known that, but he thought he was above, I guess, everyone else, and he thought that because of his position and his standing in society that maybe he could inherit it. But the Lord Jesus is portrayed in this story and in all of Scripture makes it very plain, and I hope we can make it very plain to our audience tonight that salvation is found alone in the person of the Lord Jesus. It's nothing to do with ourselves. Thank goodness for that. But this lawyer thought he merited favor. So where were we? So verse 29 says, "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" If we pay attention to this story, we'll see how Jesus, this lawyer thought too that he was going to be able to maybe pull a little one over on Jesus, but little did he realize who he was talking to. You don't trick or pull one over on Jesus. And very interesting how he answered this lawyer as to his question, "And who is my neighbor?" So he begins in verse 30, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jericho from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Notice that there was room in this inn. When the Lord Jesus came into the world as a babe, there was no room for him. He was born in a stable, but this Samaritan, when he took this wounded and half-dead person to the inn, there was room for him. Verse 35, I believe. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Interesting, the Lord Jesus asked him that question at the end of this story. It must have stung him pretty good, because really what he was saying is, he was answered his question with a question. He said, who is my neighbor? He was trying to justify himself. You know, who can I call? Who can be my neighbor? And the answer in the story was very plain and simple, and it struck him, no doubt. Who can I be neighbor to? That was really what the Lord Jesus, or as the story goes, that's really what the Lord Jesus was made very plain to the lawyer that day. Who can I be neighbor to? So really, that's how he answered his question. So it must have struck him. It must have struck him like an arrow that day. This story, we've heard it often, and it's a beautiful story. I like it as an illustration of salvation. Really, as I said from the outstart, salvation is not something that we can merit on our gain by our own merit. And doesn't matter what our standing is in this world, or what our education is, or what culture or background we come from, we are all born, as the chart depicts on the back, on the, behind us here, we are all born on that road called the Broad Way. And as you can see depicted on the chart, it's a road that leads down. And you can see where the destination from that road ends. Well, first of all, there's death, and then we enter into eternity. And there's so many in the world today, and they think that death is just the end. They believe it's the end. I've had people tell me before, we die just like a dog, and they put some clay over us, and that's it. We go back to the dust, and there's no more. But I'd like to make it very clear tonight from the Bible. The Bible says that death is really only the beginning. It's the beginning of eternity. And the Bible says that we're going to spend eternity in one of two places. And as I mentioned, that road that leads downward ends in hell, and eventually the eternal judgment is the lake of fire. But there's a road off of that way, and that's what we are here to tell you about tonight. Is there is a way off of that road. And the end, the destination at the end of that road is heaven. And it's eternal. And there's nothing that we can do. We don't have to do anything. And we see that in this story depicted very well. This man who left Jerusalem, and we're told that journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho, I forget now, is approximately maybe 15 or 18 miles. I forget which it was. But it's a very dangerous, windy road, and there's lots of places for thieves to hang out. It was a favorite road for the thieves to commit robberies. And of course, this gentleman that had left Jericho and or Jerusalem and was heading down to Jericho, he fell prey to the thieves. Whether it was one or whether he was jumped by a multitude, I don't really think we can tell from the story. But whatever the case was, this man was stripped. He was left. He was wounded badly because it says that he was half dead. And he was left in that condition. That was an awful condition to be left. And we read also, and of course that's a picture of how we are, really the way we are born. We are born sinners, and we are on that downward road. And the quicker we see ourselves in that condition, the quicker we will recognize to trust the Savior. And that's really what this story to me, and maybe many others in this meeting, depicts. It depicts not the one that, not the priest or the Levite that came down. They had their standing in community. They had their service in this at that time. And but really, they didn't really have any time for this poor person who was lying in the side of the road, very close to death. They had no time for him. And we see that in the world all around us today. People get up and they preach, you know, a nice sermon. I recently actually heard a sermon on this very portion of the Word of God. He had a 20-minute sermon and he never mentioned the word Jesus. He had his whole sermon and it was all about giving and all about how the church doesn't operate, you know, it needs income to operate. And that was really the message that he was getting across. But he kept waiting for the punchline, as it were, but it never came. He never mentioned man's need and how the Savior met that man's need that day. And that's why I want to tell you this tonight. There is one who came along and he met this man's need. It was a Samaritan. And as you know, the Samaritans were despised people. They were those who they had married during the Babylonian captivity of Israel in the 6th century BC. While they were in captivity, there were those offspring of the Jews who married foreigners. And when they did that, they became a very hated, despised people by the Jews. And they were cast out. They were castaways. Nobody liked them. And for somebody to be, you know, somebody, you know, if I didn't like Ken there back in the day, I just to get across how much I didn't like him, I would say, oh, you're just a Samaritan. That's how bad the word was in that day. Nobody liked them. And, but it happened to be a Samaritan that came along and drew alongside this gentleman. Now, he must have been, he obviously was full of compassion. And you know, isn't that just like the Lord Jesus, how beautiful it depicts the Lord Jesus? He was despised. He was rejected by all men, not only a select few, but he was despised and rejected by all men. And he came alongside, he came into this world, and without regard, knowing how terrible he would be ill-treated and ill-used in this world. And he came into this world nonetheless with a sole purpose, and that was to provide salvation for each and every one. That's what the Christmas story is all about. The one that came into this world was the one that they were Mary and Joseph, they had to go back from Nazareth to Bethlehem to take the census. Of course, Caesar Augustus wanted to make sure he was getting all his taxes. Sound pretty familiar, doesn't it? But they all had to go back to their own country of origin for the census. And as she got to Bethlehem, she went into labor, and she had the baby Jesus. Now, when we talk about the baby Jesus, sometimes we get a misconception that He was just an extraordinary human being. And he was not. It's how God became manifest and became like you and me. But he was just not any just ordinary, extraordinary human being. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was God incarnate. And he had to, in order to provide salvation, he had to take that lowly stoop and come into this world and was manifest in that way so that he could die for you and for me. It had to be somebody to pay the price of sin so it had no sin. Like I said at the beginning, we don't inherit salvation by our good works or by doing or praying or paying. It has to be through the gift or the sacrifice of another. And that's what's pictured in this little parable. The Samaritan, he drew alongside, and we read that he poured in oil and wine. Now this one that was wounded, he was no doubt a Jew, and he would have despised this one that was coming alongside to help him. But it just shows just how helpless he was. He accepted help from the one who offered it. And that's really where, if you're going to get saved, that's really where you've got to come to. You don't merit salvation on your own terms. You have to accept it by the one that has provided it for you. And that's exactly what this one that was wounded did. He just allowed that one who had compassion he gave him first aid. In the story, it's really he had his first aid kit. They must have traveled with it. He had the oil and the wine, and I don't know if he had bandages or whether he ripped off some of his own clothing and used it for a bandage. It doesn't say, but he did first aid, and the other two just passed him by, and maybe they just couldn't be bothered. Whatever the case was, or maybe they thought they'd be sued, who knows? And that's typical of the world today that we live in. And I've done it myself. I've come across people stopped on the side of the road, and you're on your way somewhere, and you get up to them, and then you see somebody else stopped there, and you say, "Ooh, that's great, I don't have to stop." And that's the way we are. We just can't be bothered. But you know, whenever somebody is stopped on the side of the road, really, whether we have an appointment or not, it would be good. Like the Lord Jesus said in this parable, or like he told this man, "Who can I be neighbor to?" And it's a good lesson for us in this world, but it's an even greater lesson when it's a picture of salvation. This man that was wounded, he just allowed this Samaritan to do his stuff. And when he gave him first aid, he poured in the wine to disinfect the wound, and the oil to keep it moist, bandaged it all up. But that wasn't the end. He didn't just leave him there. That might have been enough, but he didn't just leave it there. He put him on his beast, and I like this part of the story. He took him to an inn. And again, he didn't just leave him there. He stayed with him. And you know, by this time, I don't know how long it was from the time maybe he came around when he gave him the first aid. And I'm sure they got to know one another. I would say in that period of time, from the time he started to help him to the time they got to the inn, they probably had grown to know each other some. And this Samaritan stayed with him for the night at the inn. And you know, that's a tremendous thing. I was just thinking right now, I still remember, I told you this before one time, but when Arlene got sick there a couple of years ago, and we came off of that ship that day, and there was nobody, and you're all by yourself, and you go into this great big 800-bed facility, and you don't know what the next step, and Maggie knows a little something about this. You're all alone, and you don't know the doctor says, we just don't know how this is going to go. And you're all alone. And this gentleman, he stayed with him for that first night. And, you know, till he got used to the innkeeper at least. And everything wasn't so strange to him. Everything wasn't so scary to him. So he stayed the night with him. And in the morning, he left. You know, when it was daylight. And, you know, another day, and he told the innkeeper, when he gave him the money, the innkeeper, and he gave him enough, he told the innkeeper, if that's not enough, when I come back, I'll repay you. What a picture of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? You know, there's nobody, some people, you know, there's a lot that goes around in the world today, you know, a lot about love, but really it's a feigned love, really. Most people that are up on pulpits these days, it's just the feigned pseudo love that they're teaching. And they don't really tell man's need. And it's getting to be, it may soon be actually, that we won't be able to talk about these things freely. And it's a serious thing. They're trying to censor telling people the truth. And that's really what they're trying to do. They don't want people to know the truth. And they want people to just go along as if everything is okay. But that's not the reality of this life. We are in this world. We are loved of God. And he provided that way whereby we could be saved. And it's through nothing. This man that was half dead and wounded in the ditch, there was nothing that he could do to save himself. And that's really, as I've already stressed, that's really the point that we have to get at. There's two lifeguards here tonight. I'm just thinking here right now. And I don't know if they still teach them this or not. But you know, if this man that was wounded, if he'd have, you know, maybe not been hurt all that bad, he'd have been very, probably a little bit more picky who was going to save him. He would have seen that it was a Samaritan, and if he was in a condition where he was being picky, not really to the end of himself, he probably wouldn't have allowed this Samaritan to give him the first aid. But you see, he was at the end of himself. And like I say, I don't know if they teach lifeguards this or not, but I remember back in the day, they taught lifeguards apparently that if someone is drowning, and you know how when you're drowning, it's pretty scary, I would imagine, if you think you're drowning and you're clawing and you're swinging and you're. And if they say if a lifeguard comes in to save them, to try and save them, you know, they might both drown. But they say if they're like that, you have to kind of wait until they've expended their energy, till it's gone. And then you can, whatever you do, you hook onto them. And I think Lisa was saying she had to take that dummy, whatever they call it, and drag it from one end of the pool to the other. Well, it'd be pretty hard to drag that from one end of the pool to the other if it was set up to go the other way, wouldn't it, or to flay. But you see, that's actually where we got to get to. If we want to get saved, if we want to know what it is to be rescued by the Lord Jesus, we just got to let him do it. Just let him do it. There's absolutely nothing that you can do. I can remember, I think it was Andrew, but I can't remember, and his testimony, I haven't heard it for a number of years, and he'll tell me if I'm wrong. But when he was telling his testimony one time, it jumped out at me, and when he was, I don't know whether it was in a meeting or not, I think it might have been, but the thought just came to him, well, Jesus can take me to heaven. What was that, you? Or something like that? And that's really where we got to get to. We got to put down our struggles, and we just got to make that decision, like I said at the outset. Make that decision. If you're ever going to be in heaven, just allow the Lord Jesus to do what he wants to do, and that is save you. You don't have to be nervous that he's going to do the wrong thing. Sometimes we hesitate to jump into an emergency because we're scared we're going to do the wrong thing. But we have, they used to call it the Good Samaritan Act. I think it's called the Liability Act on PEI. And that's really what that is. If you see someone in danger and they need help right away, well, you're covered to do what, you know, to provide what's necessary in those moments to get them out of danger or to help them. And, you know, you're not going to perform a tracheotomy on them because you're not qualified, but you just do what you can to help them in that moment. And that's really a picture of salvation. Just allow the Lord Jesus to save you. And just before I sit down, this has to do with making a decision. Like I said, you will make a decision tonight. And hopefully it's not an eternal one. But it could very well be, because time is running out in this world. We can see that. And there's a story about Bird and Donkey. Maybe you've heard of that. It was coined, or it was a philosophist, or however you say it, in the 16th century, I think it was. And Jean Peridon, and he put up a theory that if you took a donkey that was equally hungry and equally thirsty, and you placed him directly in the middle between water and food, that donkey would die of starvation because he wouldn't be able to decide which way to go. And I hope that's not someone in the meeting tonight. Maybe you're pondering these things, and maybe you're thinking, well, I know it's the right thing to do, but maybe just not tonight. Maybe just not yet. Or maybe, well, you know, I'm still young, I'm still healthy. It's not something that I have to really make a decision about tonight. But really, like that donkey, and it's just a theory. It's not real, as you know. But, you know, it kind of depicts where you're at in this meeting if you're not saved. Don't wait too long, because like that donkey, if he neither goes for the water nor the food because he can't decide, he's going to perish. And if you don't decide to allow the Lord Jesus to save you tonight, you will perish. So I trust that before the meeting ends that you'll make a decision to trust the Lord Jesus tonight.